SBS, a world of difference. You're with NITV Radio, on mobile, online and on radio.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land NITV Radio broadcasts from, the Cammeraygal people and their elders past and present. We also acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tribes and clans we broadcast to, from the mountains to the plains, from the desert to the sea, from fresh water to salt water. Yira Damarang, hello, I'm your host Luana Grant and welcome to NITV Radio for this Wednesday, the 12th of February. Coming up on today's show, we're joined by the incredibly talented Andrea James, a Yorta Yorta Gunai Kurnai theatre maker and Griffin Theatre Company's Associate Artistic Director, to talk about her latest project Nucleus, written by playwright Alana Valentine. Also coming up on the show today, NITV Radio's Kerry Lee Harding yarns to Dan Rennie, NITV's Queensland correspondent, about what's been making news this week. All these interviews, plus a lot of deadly tracks to take you through this next hour. But coming up first is the latest news for this Wednesday, the 12th of February. Let's get into the show. You're listening to NITV Radio.
Australia Day 1972 saw the first Aboriginal embassy.
The native title legislation must be amended.
And they've walked this land so many times before anybody came.
I am sorry.
In this bulletin, Sam Kerr looking to the future after being found not guilty of racially harassing a London police officer. The Northern Territory government has officially ended its plans for a treaty. And in sport, Talisha Harden to equal a veteran record in the Indigenous All-Stars match. New analysis has found just five recommendations from a groundbreaking report on the Stolen Generations almost three decades ago have been implemented. The report from the not-for-profit organisation The Healing Foundation says the 1997 Bringing Them Home report contained 50 recommendations and 45 have still not been actioned. The Bringing Them Home document had outlined the impact of forced removal on individuals, families and communities, and the needs of survivors following a national inquiry. But the foundation says there has been no systematic government response to that report, addressing the needs and rights of Stolen Generation survivors and their descendants. The Northern Territory government has officially ended its plans for a treaty with Aboriginal people. The Country Liberal Party confirming the seven-year-long process and recommendations made by a former treaty commissioner have now been shelved. The previous Labor government had signed an agreement with Aboriginal land councils in 2018, spending over $5 million to set up a path to treaty commission. The new NT government says its focus is on local reform by giving control to remote community councils. Northern Land Council Chair Matthew Ryan told ABC Radio Darwin the decision is a disappointment.
It's devastating for my people right across the territory, and there was, you know, hopes to see treaty moving again, or at least get some transparency of what it means for our people, that self-determination. It's sad that this government don't want to pursue that.
Lead convener of the Coalition of Peaks, Pat Turner, has called for all governments to act and contribute to the Closing the Gap report, the yearly report to improve the well-being of First Nations communities. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese said on Monday that only five of the 19 Closing the Gap targets were on track, saying the Parliament must face up to this fact. Ms Turner, who represents over 80 First Nations peak organisations, says all governments need to act immediately.
We're now at the five-year mark. So we're over the laying the foundations and getting the processes in place. Now's the time for the rubber to hit the road and for all governments to invest the money at the community level to see the programs hastened.
An Indigenous financial counsellor says a government plan to cap the cost of essential groceries could help improve the health of First Nations communities in remote Australia. Bettina Cooper from Mob Strong Debt Help says most of these communities are among the most disadvantaged socioeconomic areas in the country, with only one local shop for groceries and hours away from other facilities. The Boandic woman has been advocating for price caps on essential items following a choice investigation in October, which revealed some remote residents were paying double for their groceries than consumers in the city. Israel's Prime Minister has threatened to withdraw from the ceasefire and resume fighting in Gaza if Hamas does not free hostages as scheduled under the terms of their temporary truce. Benjamin Netanyahu says the military is already in position just in case.
In the light of Hamas's announcement of its decision to violate the agreement and not release our hostages, last night I ordered the IDF to gather forces inside and around the Gaza Strip. This operation is being carried out at this time.
So far, Hamas has released 21 hostages in a series of exchanges for hundreds of Palestinian prisoners and others held in Israeli custody without charge. But it said earlier this week that it planned to delay the next release after accusing Israel of failing to meet the terms of the ceasefire, including by not allowing enough tents and other aid into Gaza. Retiring Labor MP Stephen Jones has revealed he is a survivor of child sexual abuse in his farewell speech to Parliament. He has thanked former Prime Minister Julia Gillard for establishing the Royal Commission into Childhood Abuse, calling it cathartic and necessary for many survivors. The Assistant Treasurer and Financial Services Minister has told Parliament that he didn't reveal he was also a survivor before because he was not ready.
The Royal Commission was a really painful experience for survivors, but a necessary piece of truth-telling and reconciliation. Survivors, including me, appreciate it. A point I've never disclosed because I didn't want to be defined. And because I didn't want to detract attention from those who, unlike me, didn't have a voice, didn't have access to power to tell their story.
The federal government says it could acquire regional airline Rex if a suitable private sector buyer cannot be found. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese says they are working with the administrators of the embattled regional carrier to find a buyer and have guaranteed Rex's regional flight slots at Sydney Airport until October 2026. He says the government has a responsibility to ensure regional Australians do not miss out when markets fail or struggle to deliver what they need, which is why the ALP will also fund the upgrades of several regional airports.
We have $12 million for New South Wales regional airports, for Marimbula and Maruya, for Albury, Moree and Mudgee. It's about extending runways, making sure that these airports are fit for purpose.
A prominent doctors group has launched a new plan ahead of the federal election it says will ensure access to affordable GP care for everyone in Australia. The Royal Australian College of GPs proposal essentially calls for an increase in Medicare funding to enable the bulk billing rate to get back to 85% for those who need it most. The college also wants to see growth in the GP workforce, which it estimates would generate a 5.2 million additional annual consultations. Health Minister Mark Butler has told Channel 7 statistics released on Tuesday show there have already been an additional 6 million bulk billed GP visits between November 2023 and December 2024 since its $3.5 billion move to triple the bulk billing incentive.
Bulk billing was in free fall when we came into government because the Medicare rebate had been frozen for so long. As you know, Nat, we invested in bulk billing heavily in the 2023 budget. That stopped the free fall, and it means that bulk billing has risen in every state and territory. It delivered an additional 6 million additional free visits last year to the doctor. But too many people are saying it's hard to find a bulk billing doctor. There's more we need to do.
Sam Kerr says she is looking to the future now she has been acquitted of racially abusing a police officer in London. Kerr has released a statement that says she can finally put what she has described as a challenging period behind her and is looking forward to getting back on the pitch and an exciting year for herself and her family. The footballer has also repeated her apology for the incident that led to the charge. The Matildas captain has said in a statement that while she expressed herself poorly on what was a traumatic evening, she has always maintained she did not intend to insult or harm anyone. To sport, the Indigenous All-Stars lineup has been officially launched ahead of the game this Saturday. It's the 14th edition of the concept and the first time in 3 years that the All-Stars will return to Western Sydney. For an All-Stars veteran, it will be a record-equalling match, with Talisha Harden set to equal Beck Young's record of 8 All-Stars games.
It's a bit of a playoff between us. We have a little laugh about it. She missed a couple, I missed a couple with injury. So, yeah, I think we're both on 8, with Quincy Dodd not too far behind us.
And now for a look at today's weather. Perth, partly cloudy, 25. Adelaide, sunny, 43. Melbourne, sunny, 34. Hobart, partly cloudy, 30. Canberra, partly cloudy, 29. Wollongong, a shower or two, 26. Sydney, also a shower or two, 28. Newcastle, showers and a possible storm, 27. Brisbane, a shower or two, 31. Cairns, showers, 31. And Darwin, showers and a possible storm, 32. And that is NITV Radio News.
Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online, and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio and I'm your host, Luana Grant. And that was the incredible Lauren Ryan with her track Hoedown. I recently sat down with Lauren to yarn about her musical career and I'm so excited to share that yarn with you all in the coming weeks. So make sure you stay tuned for that special interview. But still to come on the show today, we're joined by Andrea James, theatre maker and Griffin Theatre Company's Associate Artistic Director, to talk about her latest project, Nucleus, showing at the Seymour Centre in Sydney from the 14th of February. But now we throw to NITV Radio's Kerry Lee Harding, who yarns with Dan Rennie, our Queensland correspondent, about what's been making news this week.
And right here on NITV Radio, it's that time of the week again to welcome Dan Rennie, NITV's Queensland correspondent, with all the latest news from Murray Country. Welcome back to the program, Dan. Good to have you here.
Yeah, thanks so much, Kerry Lee. Good to be here. Love our weekly segments.
Too Deadly. What's first cab off the rank in terms of news up there in Queensland happening this last week, Dan?
Yeah, well, look, we know Queensland, particularly in the north, can experience some wild weather this time of the year. And, of course, the mob up north, the Bummer mob, in and around Ingham and Townsville, Palm Island, experienced the weather phenomenon that's sort of taken over there. A lot of people cut off, a lot of people, especially living in remote areas such as Palm, without power for some days, without being able to leave the island supplies, et cetera. But look, they're a resilient, tough mob. I was up in Woodgill last year, and 8 months on from there, a devastating flood. They were still cleaning up, and nobody's kicking cans or resting on their laurels. They just dig in the community there, and if the emergency services can't get in, they just help themselves.
And they have faced really tough times up there. I saw in the news, not only in Townsville, the heavy rains that are still happening this week. And, you know, the ground's already soaked. You know, they were choppering in supplies. And I did hear birthday cakes and some reports to people in Ingham, bros. Yeah.
Yeah, look, mob expect, they expect that kind of weather up there. Probably not this extreme, but they are prepared, which is a good thing. You never want to see, you know, a weather phenomenon come through like that, a once-in-a-hundred-year storm, they call it, and mob, you know, not being alerted or being aware. So the fact that they are clued on doesn't make it any easier, I suppose, for the cleanup and the loss of your belongings and whatnot. And being isolated is difficult as well, but they're well prepared.
Oh, good. And I do tend to worry also, Dan, to let you know about all those animals up there who, you know, are displaced because of the floods, eh?
Yeah, look, and that was one of the toughest parts about going up to Woodjill and talking to community on the ground there. They had to leave their animals behind, and a lot of these animals are family members, as we know, you know. It's a really tough one, but if you're getting shoppered out, you know, it's the human beings are the priority, and unfortunately, our beautiful little fur babies get left behind sometimes. But yeah, that's part and parcel, I suppose, of living in the tropical north, where these weather phenomena are bound to happen.
That's it, Queensland. Beautiful, sunny one day, raining the next day. Eh?
Flooding the next, yes. Also, wanted to touch on the new Queensland Minister for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Partnerships. Her name is Fiona Simpson. She's been in and around politics for a very long time. You could call her a veteran, I suppose, of the political sphere here in Queensland, or the zeitgeist in this part of the world. And look, she's a very interesting character. Her portfolio also includes ethnic and women's rights. So look, you know, time will tell, and they say they've got some grand plans for blackfellas up here. One of those include a rent-to-buy scheme on Palm Island. It's well below the home ownership rate in other Aboriginal communities, down to, I think it's 2.5% of the entire population of Palm Island own their own homes, and the rest is all council or housing commission. So there's a rent-to-buy scheme going on there with 99-year leases.
And that was Dan Rennie, NITV's Queensland correspondent, chatting to our very own Kerry Lee Harding. We'll be back after the break. You're listening to NITV Radio.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio, and that was everyone's favourite, Luke Combs. I went and saw him in concert the other week, and he is the most amazing performer, and so much mob there as well. So if you were there, a big shout out to you, and hopefully he does come back down under very soon. But if you just joined us, you're listening to NITV Radio, and in our next segment, we're joined by the incredibly talented Andrea James, a Yorta Yorta Gunai Kurnai theatre maker and Griffin Theatre Company's Associate Artistic Director, to talk about her latest project, Nucleus, written by playwright Alana Valentine. Showing at the Seymour Centre from the 14th of February to the 15th of March, Nucleus marks the first collaboration between Andrea and Alana. Nucleus draws on 5 years of research and interviews to deliver a tender and thought-provoking story. Andrea joins us right here on NITV Radio to share more about this exciting project and her approach to bringing Nucleus to life on stage.
My name is Andrea James. I'm a Yorta Yorta Gunai Kurnai woman. I'm based on Gadigal country. My role at Griffin Theatre is Associate Artistic Director, and I'm the director of Nucleus, a play written by Alana Valentine.
And I'm really excited to be yarning with you today about your latest work, which you just mentioned, and it's Griffin Theatre Company's newest production. Do you mind telling us a little bit about it and what drew you to directing this play?
Yeah, you know, being on the artistic team in the programming meeting, this play sort of came across our table, and, you know, I just knew immediately on picking it up that it was within three pages, you know, an incredibly exciting story, something that I hadn't seen for quite some time. There's a really powerful and direct style to the work. And it was just the sort of play where you just literally, I couldn't put it down. It's one of those, and it sounds really cliche to say this, but it really was a page turner. And there were so many unexpected surprises as well. But I think that ultimately what really sung to me was about, you know, how we need to care for country. Ultimately, there was this sort of really underlying theme, and one of the main characters love for country and the planet and her daughter and legacy that really, really sung to me, as a black fella directing this work. Ultimately, the play is about two opposing political forces, a nuclear scientist and a nuclear activist, who oppose each other, but are at the same time utterly attracted to each other. And I think that, and they could be doing anything. It just was, I won't say it was purely coincidental, but it's just, sometimes a play lays in wait and, so-called Australia is dealing with some really massive issues to do with, nuclear energy and how we're going to sort of power ourselves and what that means, for traditional landowners, but for all Australians sort of living on country. And it's a really massive question, that's being sort of dangerously politicised at the moment. And so I suppose that, what this playwright is offering us is an opportunity, as people, as mob, as community, to kind of come into a dark room and really consider both sides of the debate, because, with the rise of, the polarization of the left and right and the way that social media wants us to communicate to each other in these sort of hateful bursts, it sort of gives us a chance to really sit in the arguments and, and ultimately, Alana is appealing to our common humanity, because what these two seemingly opposing forces see in each other is, is a passion and a belief in something that they ultimately sort of fall in love with. So yeah, it's a kind of a tragic love story in a way, but it also really offers us hope and, something that we can sort of take away with as we kind of struggle, as human beings, on the lands, that we're walking on.
And this is your first time collaborating with award-winning playwright Alana Valentine, who wrote the play. What's it been like working alongside each other for this work?
Yeah, look, we've known each other for quite some time. When I first moved up to Gadigal country, we'd worked together on a multi-writer project. So we sort of got to know each other a bit as well. And I think we've sort of followed each other's work. I think we see something within each other's work to do, with politics and injustice and true life stories that really resonates with both of us. And so I think we've kind of been long-time admirers of each other's work. And, Alana is not just a playwright. She also directs and produces, as I do as well. So, yeah, it's just really lovely to be working with somebody, who I know has a respect for Aboriginal issues and an understanding of our politics and of respect for traditional country and homelands. And she's collaborated with different theatre artists before as well. So, yeah, it's just been really nice to not have to, we could just take a shortcut because we sort of speak each other's theatrical language. And so that was just a really great starting point. I mean, she's disarmingly smart and she doesn't suffer fools gladly. So, I've really had to sort of up my game, and there's just an incredible intellect, to the work. And I hope Alana doesn't mind me calling her this, but, she's a complete and utter nerd. and she has a fascination with science and politics and, that's really detailed and intricate and deep. And this is sort of something that's just gives the work just such richness and so many layers. She really, really has challenged me, and I think I can speak for the cast to say it's challenged us greatly too, because it just operates on so many different levels, that you just really have to bring in your whole mind, your whole body, and also just bring your own experience and cultural grounding to the task as well.
Yeah, and you did mention just before about the the topics that this play examines. How did you approach directing a play with such complex and timely themes?
Yeah, well, you know, look, it's part of it is set on Yuin country and in the Wreck Bay community area. And, you know, I visited that place and, you know, Alana and I went for a swim there. You know, there is just something so exquisitely beautiful about that country. And I think for me personally, as a theatre maker and as a Blackfella theatre maker, that's my starting point. Every single time, you know, you have to have a sense of the country. And that was sort of really important because that's sort of what's inspired the work. There's a desire to, you know, protect that place. And it was, you know, it was put at risk. You know, it's unbelievable to think that, you know, the Australian government even contemplating building a nuclear reactor on that site. You just cannot comprehend it, you know. And, you know, of course, there's all of the military stuff that's happening and the PFAS stuff that's happening for mob at Wreck Bay community at the moment too, that's just really at the forefront of my mind. So, you know, for me personally, as a Blackfella theatre maker, there's a sense of, you know, needing to protect country. So, you know, look, that's just been absolutely the starting point for me, and you know, and having the conversations with Alana and a sense of why she wanted to do it, you know, from her perspective.
Join the conversation on radio, online, and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online, and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back to NITV Radio. If you've just joined us, we've been yarning to the incredibly talented Andrea James, a Yorta Yorta Gunai Kurnai theatre maker and Griffin Theatre Company's Associate Artistic Director, to talk about her latest project, Nucleus. Andrea joins us now to share more about this exciting project and her approach to bringing Nucleus to life.
I read that Alana's research and interviews, I think it spanned across like 5 years or something like that. And it was, you know, that inspired the work of the play. Can you talk a little bit about that process and that 5-year period of, you know, just doing interviews and the research to bring all of this to a production?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that's part of the beauty of how Alana works. She goes in kind of really, really deep, and she begins with the people. You know, she begins with the people who lived and and experienced these stories kind of fully. You know, and she spoke to people, you know, within the nuclear industry. She spoke to activists, you know, and I just find that a really, really exciting starting point. You know, it's a bit like, you know, when you have a yarn with somebody, you know, the story and the energy and the characters immediately sort of come to life. And I think that's what's just so beautiful about Alana's work. But then, of course, you know, to have to go in so deeply into the science of nuclear energy and, you know, the background of that in the politics around that in Australia, you know, since the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, it's like this, you know, this sort of monster that lies dormant, you know, it kind of rises up and we go, are we talking about this again? And then it lays in wait. She talks a lot in the play about the long game, you know, the way that both sides of politics, from the left or the right, if they have a loss, you know, they sort of lay around and they wait for the next moment to strike. And I think I can say for most, you know, First Nations land owners, traditional owners, that, you know, that's always a risk for us. You know, we're constantly in a state of needing to protect our country and you know, ward these particular forces away from it as well. So yeah, it's deeply and intricately researched, and it the ideas are just so complex. It makes it really, really challenging for our actors. It's just amazing to see how, you know, they thread all of the pieces together and are able to, you know, make so clear this really complex history, the political machinations around that. But that being said, you know, Alana has also found a really interesting theatrical conventions to sort of tell the story. So she's sort of strayed away from what she would normally do, which was, you know, use verbatim, you know, the text would be verbatim from these people directly. And she sort of strayed away from that a little bit. So it's, yeah, it's really great to see her, you know, working in a new and challenging way. And it's just made the work, you know, really, really interesting in terms of style.
And you were just talking about the actors there as well. How did you work with the actors to bring these characters to life?
Yeah, you know, I'm working with some absolute veterans of the stage, Paula Arundel and Peter Cowitz. They worked together in 2007 on Blackbird in Sydney Theatre Company, which was, you know, a really very complex, you know, sort of troublesome play. So it's just been really satisfying, actually, to bring these two actors together. And you can't but help but feel the resonance of what they went through together as performers all those years ago. So that's been really, really satisfying. I mean, you know, they're both incredibly deep thinkers. They're very analytical, you know, and they've brought a lot of research to their roles, because, you know, they're both experts at their particular, you know, political beliefs, and they have to be persuading and persuasive. So, yeah, they've done an incredible amount of preparation. You know, Peter has this epic monologue that is just so virtuosic to witness. You know, he has this 10-minute monologue that is just utterly engaging. But my oh my, you know, when you see a performer at the top of their game, you know, literally running a marathon on stage, because to, you know, that's no small feat. So look, I'm just floored and blown away every single day. And, you know, my approach is very collaborative, and we have a lot of discussions, and, you know, things sort of slowly bubble and rise up to the surface. And if there's an idea that excites us, we sort of run with it. You know, and we argue and have debates too, and we try silly ideas that may or may not make the cut, you know. So and I, you know, it's been a really challenging process too. I think, you know, Paula in particular is really encouraging us to stay really still and dig deep and to not go for the obvious. And that can be a really, really uncomfortable place. You know, and I know it's been challenging for me and our design team, who want to kind of start seeing things up and running. So, yeah, but we're absolutely giving it its time that it deserves, and I'm really excited by, yeah, the ideas that come up. Every day is a new day. It's a magical mystery tour theatre and you never know what's going to come every day, you know. Even when we're in the season, you know, things kind of change and you have to sort of put yourself into this unknown space, and it kind of calls for a lot of courage and trust, actually. And we've really delicately built that up over time, because I hadn't worked with Peter and Paula before. So, you know, and we all have different theatrical languages and cultural backgrounds, you know. It's often a bit like that, so we've had to sort of, yeah, understand how we each process information, and that sometimes has been challenging. So yeah, but we keep coming back and getting back up on the horse, because we believe in the story, we believe what it has to say, you know, and we're up for the challenge.
And what message do you hope your audiences take away? What do you hope, like, when they come and watch this play, what do you hope they take away from this?
That's a big one. I mean, you know, look, our community has just recently been ripped apart by this whole referendum. You know, are you in the yes or the no camp? And, you know, I think we're still feeling the repercussions and consequences of that, you know. And there's something just sort of so nice about what this play has to say about, you know, sometimes we just have to agree to disagree, and what we need to see within each other is our common humanity. And in actual fact, what we need to feel and know and acknowledge is the lands underneath our feet. You know, it's really important for non-Aboriginal Australians to fully understand that. And I think that this is what Alana is trying, is asking non-Aboriginal Australians to do, and to look at the birds and to feel the country and to see its utter gobsmacking beauty. And I think you can even do that in these built-up spaces. So that's what the play is asking us to do, to open our eyes to that, to be alive to that, to let the country speak to us, and to be guided by that as well. So that's certainly what I've brought to it, as a Yorta Yorta Gunai Kurnai woman. These are the messages for me that I've been interested to draw out, and for us to just, see our common humanity in each other, and to understand and not be threatened by our passionate beliefs, and to find a way to live with each other and to love one another and to love the country we're standing on.
And finally, for anyone who wants to go along and see Nucleus, what are the dates and where will it be shown?
Yes, Nucleus opens on the 14th of February to the 15th of March, so 1 month season. So, don't delay. And we're opening at the Seymour Centre, and you can book your tickets on griffintheatre.com.au.
Conversation on radio, online, and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio.
And that's all we have time for on today's program. You can listen back to the show anytime online or catch any of our stories on our website at sbs.com.au. NITV Radio will be back on Friday with more stories from right across the country. I'm your host, Luana Grant. Mundungur, thanks so much for joining me and have a great day.
People's movement, people's movement, people's movement.